Welcome to Catholic XJW Podcast. This is our second episode. I hope you enjoyed the first one. This podcast is produced by the Fellowship of Catholic XJW Witnesses, and my name is Jeff Schwemm, and I am the president of the Fellowship of Catholic XJW Witnesses. You can visit us online at www.catholicxjw.com. On March 25th is the Annunciation of our Lord. And it's when we remember the angel Gabriel coming and telling our Blessed Mother Mary that she was going to be with child and give birth to our Savior. I've always found the first chapters of the Gospel of Luke to be fascinating because if we step back and we look at what's going on, Zechariah the priest actually had a similar encounter, but with pretty different results. And actually, you and I can learn from both of these encounters when it comes to actually trusting in what the Lord tells us he's going to do in our lives. If we look at Luke chapter 1, what happens is Zechariah is serving at the temple, and he has an angel come to visit him. And this is what it says in verse 8. Now while he was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, it fell to him by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And notice Zechariah's response. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you, and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he made signs to them and remained dumb. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she hid herself, saying, "Thus the Lord has done to me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So what we see here is Zechariah is visited by Gabriel, and he asks a question once Gabriel says, "Well, your wife's going to have a child." Now, they were beyond childbearing years, evidently. And he says, "How can this be? I'm old. My wife's old." But it was a question asked out of doubt, evidently, because the angel Gabriel took offense, and Zechariah was struck with muteness, which was probably something that his wife Elizabeth appreciated on some level. But what's interesting is that a similar encounter occurs with our Blessed Mother. And let's look at verse 26. "In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I have no husband?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Evidently, Mary's question was not asked out of doubt. Mary believed in the word of God. Well, what about us? Who are we more likely to imitate? Actually, speaking for myself, I tend to imitate Zechariah. The Lord says, "I'm going to save you, but I know my sin." And I often ask, can God really do that? Something that may be impossible? Redeem poor sinners like me? Mary evidently didn't have this type of doubt. She said yes to God. And because of that, She was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus entered the world through her. I have to say that while in our everyday life, a lot of times we tend to be like Zechariah and doubt God's word, doubt whether he's going to really take care of us or not. God's grace is so unfathomable that he can even take a person like Zechariah and use his doubt and his lack of faith. And that is, in fact, what we see. When John the Baptist was born, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed God. And if you'd like to read this, this is in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. And this prayer of praise from Zechariah to our Lord has become part of the prayer of the church in what is known as the Liturgy of the Hours. Every day, priests, religious, and Catholic lay people who participate in this particular prayer say this prayer of praise. God took Zechariah's doubt, just like he takes our doubt, and teaches us just exactly how much he loves us and how, even though we might doubt him, he will still take care of us. In a certain sense, all of us Catholics and Christians are redeemed Zechariah Catholics or Zechariah Christians. We doubt God's word when he says he's going to take care of us. God does his action anyway, in spite of our doubt, and we wind up being like Zechariah and praising the Lord in the highest heavens. But we can also learn from our Blessed Mother's example. Once she found out she was with child and that Jesus was communing inside of her, what's the first thing she did? She went to her cousin, her kinswoman, Elizabeth, and she helped take care of her. In verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, she says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a city of Judea, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" See, Elizabeth recognized that Mary knew the Lord would do what he said he would do. For Mary, God's word was enough. For Zechariah and the rest of us, a lot of times God's word isn't enough, and we doubt. And if we look at verse 56, Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. She stayed with Elizabeth and helped her, according to church tradition. She went out to serve. In a certain sense, you and I, when we received the Eucharist at Mass, we have a similar experience to that of our Blessed Mother. When the priest says to us as we approach him, and he has Jesus in his hand, he says, "The body of Christ." And we say, "Amen." Amen means so be it. Each time we receive communion, we're saying to the Lord, just as Mary said to God, "So be it. Your will be done in my life." That's our annunciation moment, meaning that we want him to enter into the deepest recesses of our soul. And as we consume him, we should be asking the Lord to consume us with the grace to live out his life. Not our own, his life. We should be like our Blessed Mother, who after she received Christ, went and served her kinswoman. You and I, when we receive our Blessed Lord in the Eucharist, we should be like our Blessed Mother and ready to leave that church and to serve our families, our friends, our communities, our bosses, our employees, our employers. Everyone we meet, we should be willing to serve. We should be willing to share the gospel of life with them, to share our Lord with them. So, when we think of the Annunciation, let's think back to that great moment when the angel Gabriel had two messages, one for Zechariah, which Zechariah doubted, and yet, in spite of his doubt, God still blessed him with a son and blessed him with the faith to give us a prayer that has been prayed on a consistent basis by the church for the last 2,000 years. And let's think of our Blessed Mother, who never had a doubt that God's word would be fulfilled, that God would do what he said he would do. And then let's follow her example and serve others and bring the Lord Jesus to others, just as she did throughout her entire life.
You know I understand the doubts of Thomas Wayne. He asked to touch the Master's nail prints with his hands. I too need something that is tangible for proof before I'll trust what's true. Oh, faith in things unseen is hard for me. I question I should believe. Can you tell me why I'm so searching for a sign to believe? Time rolls by, I start to doubt my memories. Though my heart knows it's real, oh, where can I find peace when I am weak? I know I'm lost. Rescue.
One of the things that has happened to me since becoming Catholic, and I think some of my other Catholic convert friends could probably attest to this, and that is, you know, I don't really feel like I ever learned how to pray until I became Catholic. And I never really understood some of the prayers that Catholics used. I always thought that this one devotion known as the Rosary was just a repeat of words over and over again, a bunch of chatter that made no sense, and that perhaps some Catholics felt that if they said enough Hail Marys and enough Our Fathers and enough Glory Bees, that God would grant them whatever request they were asking, and that maybe it was more like an incantation, a magical thing. In reality, that's not what the Rosary is about. The Rosary is actually a beautiful meditation on the Gospel. I can remember when I was a Jehovah's Witness reading the Gospel accounts and reading the Bible and saying to myself what it must have been like to live during that time with Christ and his disciples. But, you know, I read the Gospels mostly as history. It was mostly an academic exercise. I just didn't think about it in the same way I do when I pray the Rosary. I can remember growing up as a child, my grandfather, Schwem, was just one of the best storytellers. I would always listen to his stories, mostly about his young life. And really, if you think about it, what the Rosary is it's our story, our family story, or I should say our adopted family story. The Blessed Mother and Jesus tell us what it was like to be there. And we can put ourselves there. And actually, in a certain sense, the Holy Spirit puts us there when we pray the Rosary. For each 10 Hail Marys, which is known as a decade in the Rosary, you're to think about a certain aspect of Jesus' life. These are divided up into the joyful mysteries, sorrowful mysteries, the luminous mysteries, which are new, aren't beloved Pope John Paul II gave us those, and also the glorious mysteries. These tell us about the acts, the great acts, that our Savior did while on earth, and how his Blessed Mother, whom he gave us as our own mother, was involved in all of that. The interesting thing is that everything about the Hail Mary is really from the Bible. Again, when we think about the Annunciation, a great scene in the Bible in Luke chapter 1. It's actually Elizabeth who first says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary actually predicts the great honor she receives from God and how all peoples will call her blessed. She says this in Luke chapter 1, verses 48. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. The rosary is actually the most biblical prayer I've ever prayed. It's a meditation on the gospel. And it actually gives me the opportunity to live the gospel, to live the life of Christ. For example, the first mystery of the Sorrowful Mysteries is Jesus in the garden. And while I'm saying the Hail Marys, what I'm thinking about is, I'm there in the garden with my Lord. I realize that all the ways in which I've sinned and offended God are the reason why Jesus is in that garden in such pain and suffering. I put him there. I put him there with my doubt, my hate, my lust, my greed. We all did. But by meditating on the Sorrowful Mysteries, I see just how bad sin really is and the damage that sin can do. In contrast, when I have the privilege of meditating on the Glorious Mysteries, these are the mysteries concerning Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, I think about the great gift that the Lord wishes to give me in spite of my sin, which is to be in heaven with Christ, to experience my own resurrection and my own ascension into heaven. Since becoming Catholic, I realized that my baptism means that I've been baptized into the birth, life, death, and resurrection of my Lord Jesus Christ. And the rosary teaches me what that life means, what that life is, and helps me to not just read the gospel and the gospel accounts as if they're dry history or they're some academic exercise. So as we think about the Annunciation, let's think about the life of Christ and let's live it and pray the rosary so that we might be reminded that that is the life the Lord wishes to give us and that is the life we should be open to living. I'd like to thank you for listening to the Catholic XJW Podcast, Episode 2. This podcast is produced by the Fellowship of Catholic Ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, and you can visit us online at www.catholicxjw.com. Till next time, may the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
With all my intent.